The following is an exclusive presentation of News Radio KMAN, your home for K-State athletics. It's game time. This is The Game on News Radio KMAN.
Oh, that was a stupid pass. Oh, and then blocked. What a sequence.
Yikes.
Houston and TCU playing right now in the Big 12 quarterfinals in Kansas City. It's all Houston, 50-29. It's about as expected. Maybe not that much of a blowout, but expected Houston to win.
Bad ball game earlier, too. BYU just got absolutely smoked by Texas Tech today.
Yeah, a couple of stinkers. What was not a stinker for us was the Cats beating Texas. You know, I could probably speak for a lot of K-State fans. We were done with K-State's chances of an NCAA tournament a couple of weeks ago. Yeah. Probably the loss to Cincinnati. I wouldn't say KU was the final nail for. I think Cincinnati was the final nail in the coffin for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And guys, K-State's now in a pretty decent shot.
So, you know what's funny is them, Villanova, and Providence are all kind of in a weird little same space right now.
Yeah, because you're talking about those are three teams that have all played each other,
mm-hmm.
and they're mm-hmm. both on the outside looking in.
Right.
You know, Villanova, we're going to get to a lot of bubble talk here coming up a little bit later. I do want to discuss last night
yes.
a little bit, but yes. I'll just say this for right now. You know, it would have been nice if Villanova lost.
Yeah.
To DePaul, and DePaul is a terrible team.
Horrible.
How many have they lost in a row?
27.
And now they're hiring Chris Holtman, who got fired at Ohio State during the season.
Oh no!
Speaking of firings, R.I.P. RIP Mike Boynton at Oklahoma State. He's out officially.
Hey, Travis Ford's available.
Bring him in.
He got canned at St. Louis, so you know he's available. Bring him back to Oklahoma State.
Black Thursday.
Mike Boynton is one of those rare coaches that I feel bad actually for him and that university that they had to let him go.
Because
I was rooting for him. They're one of the nicest people, at least just speaking on my behalf here, as a just public address announcer right next to the opposing bench, the nicest guy. The nicest staff. I mean, class acts, sportsmanship, didn't get after the officials a whole lot. At least what I saw in Bramlage was very respectable. And Oklahoma State fans really like Mike Boynton. Mm. It just didn't work out.
No.
And I'm sure that was a tough one. That wasn't the – no firing is easy, but that one was probably a bit difficult. It just didn't work out. It just wasn't winning games and wasn't getting results.
Honestly, I continue to be surprised that he got as long of a leash as he did given the Bagman incident.
It's crazy. I want to go back and look at what were the penalties levied against them.
They were too much.
They got a postseason ban.
I mean,
twice,
right? It was two of the – and then, of course, you get scholarships taken away, but – whatever that was is either very effective or please don't do that again to somebody because they have struggled so mightily to get back. You know,
it's been that like that for a while now.
For a while. It's been a while.
Like nobody's going to games at Gallagher-Iba. And Gallagher-Iba used to be, I mean, it was like, it wasn't, of course, Cameron Indoor, Allen Fieldhouse level, but it felt like for a while there, it was like just a step below. Just a real tough environment to go play in a gym that just basically goes straight up in the air with the stands.
They never should have expanded it, first of all. That expansion has not panned out for them in any way, shape, or form. You know, that's one of the smart things about how Cameron Indoor Stadium sits. You know, Duke understands, listen, we expand this, we lose that atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
And Oklahoma State thought that they were going to parlay an expansion into more money and more things driving, and it just never has happened since they expanded that place. They never, never sell that out.
Boys, a big win last night for the Cats. They keep their hopes for the NCAA tournament alive after taking down Texas with a fantastic offensive second half. I specifically say offense because I think defensively they gave up a few plays that were like come on, guys, we have this.
Yeah.
Let's just take care of business here. We're letting them back in it type of thing. 49 points in the second half after being down 10. That was a tremendous performance. Troy, I'm sure you got to watch most of that game because we unfortunately had severe weather roll in. So we switched directions and really focused on, because we had multiple touchdowns of tornadoes in Waubonsie County, one just outside of Rossville. That clearly at that point will take priority here on K-Man. So, but the Cats still got it done. Didn't really get to watch a whole lot of the second half. Mm-hmm. And that's where the real fun of K-State basketball took place. So, Deej, I'm hoping you watched most of that second half and you could tell us what really stood out to you about that comeback win for the Cats. By the way, beating Texas in what will most likely be their last meeting. It is their last meeting in an official Big 12 environment. And horns down for the final time in probably a long time.
I don't think I've ever hate watched a team more than this team. The Cats.
Yeah.
Very angrily did I watch this game. The second half didn't really start out that great either. For the Cats, I mean, the first half they kind of sleptwalked through it. I was waiting for them to wake up and realize they're in the Big 12 tournament, and it seemed like they just weren't doing it. And then they let it rip. I just kept telling Sarah, I felt like they finally said, "Screw it," and they went for it. And the energy level, they just ratcheted up, and it was insane to watch a team like Texas do what they did in the first half, where they just look like they're on a different level than K-State was, especially athletically. They're just so up and down, and you're just like, you get discouraged. And the Cats turned it up, especially on the defensive end. And wah, wah, wee, wah. What a fantastic second half. And then they tried to give it back. At the very end, they try to give it back. The one guy you should probably cover at all costs, Amos, they just let him go a couple times. They just let him go. And he knocks down a couple big ones. But the Cats, I just felt like the intensity level, they turned it up. Somebody in the huddle was like, wake up, and it happened. And it was awesome.
I think he had multiple guys. Arthur Kaluma stepped up. Tyler Perry hit some pretty big threes.
Big.
One player, though, in particular, it was awesome to see, especially on the offensive end, with the runouts, the takes to the rim, knocking down some shots, good passes. The spark, I think, last night you got to really give the props to is true freshman Day-Day Yams. Here's Tyler Perry after the game about the spark from Day-Day.
Biggest one is tomorrow.
Sorry, that is the wrong one. Here we go.
Super proud of him. And like Art just said, it's just the tip of the iceberg for him to play in his first Big 12 tournament game and to have zero turnovers. Like, you don't get that from a freshman too many times. And for him to stay poised the way he did, couldn't be more proud of him.
This is the second time in the last three games where Day-Day, it has seemed like he has tried to do his best to step up and grow up as a player, not play like a true freshman anymore. And last night, Day-Day, he finished with 10 points. He was 4 of 9 from the floor. Got to the free throw line a couple of times, 3 assists, no turnovers. That was very important. No turnovers. He didn't foul anybody. He drew 3 fouls. And as a team, what I really like, because if you look at some of the final numbers, there's a couple that stand out to me. One of them was K-State in the paint. They won 38-30, but in the second half it was 26-10. And it wasn't just Day-Day, it was a number of players, but specifically who stood out to me the most was Day-Day and also David Gasson. Gasson's move from his left shoulder, turning to his left and finishing with the right hand, was on point last night. He was 6 of 7 from the field, and he was unstoppable. Another thing that stood out to me as well, only 10 turnovers
for K-State. Two second half.
And TP Joe, T's like, the reason we stopped turning it over is because I stopped turning it over, and Jerome Tang right afterwards said, amen. Amen. Two reactions from seeing that K-State finished with 10 turnovers. My positive reaction is like, all right, only 10 turnovers. And then my kind of negative reaction, kind of shocked reaction is like, oh, my God, we haven't had one game with single-digit turnovers this year.
Nope.
Nope. Not one. That tied a season low. Ten turnovers. But hey, listen, I will take that all day with this team.
Yes.
Who has turned it over way too much this year. They're one of the worst teams in the nation at turning it over. I've believed Tang all year long when he said that we can go win games and still cough it up a whole bunch. They've been really close to, you know, not finishing 8-10 and more like, you know, 10-8.
Mm-hmm.
Or like 11-7 mm-hmm. in the Big 12. Like, they could have been a little bit better if they just finished a few more shots. But 49 points in the second half was ginormous, and Day-Day Ames was such a huge point. I did see the intensity from a handful of guys as well, and Tyler Perry was selling it.
Man.
And it was good to see him score in the first half as well. That's a spark. And another thing is, K-State scoring five guys in double figures. Cats are now 9-0 when they have five guys to score in double figures. I felt it was so simple to explain K-State's issues. I didn't like, if you just have the three main guys going, you're good. I was like, for me, that's not good enough,
right,
though.
No.
Because what if they're not on point? What if, you know, Cam, who's had kind of a rough second half of the Big 12, if he's not going? So you leave it now to two guys to score all the points. I need more from other guys. Mm-hmm. I need more from Danny Ames and RJ Jones, a true freshman, who come in. Will McNair, David Gasson off the bench, can they provide a little bit more? And Will, I know he's off and on, but when he's on, he's on.
Mm-hmm.
He can really look good at times, like really impressive at times. And when he's not on, he struggles a little bit. But if he's scoring, if guys are scoring that are not named, Tyler Perry, Cam Carter, Arthur Kaluma, gosh, does it give K-State such a better opportunity to go just win a game.
Yeah.
And this win over Texas, and this is where K-State does have a big advantage, playing in the Big 12 as a bubble team. They have the best opportunity than anybody else in the country to make a case late. And that's because, and I'm not the first to say this, but K-State can now stockpile quad one games and quad one wins. There's not a bad loss now. For Texas last time, Texas, that was a quad two loss for them. Neutral side game, and K-State net was 70, and now they've dropped to 68, so it's a tad bit better, but that's a quad two loss for Texas, so they slipped in the net a little bit. But now this does give K-State, what is it now, five? Is it five quad one wins now for K-State this season?
Correct.
I have to go back and look just to be sure. Yeah, 5-7. So now you're talking about a K-State team that, gosh, I mean, if they could win another one, now they have one of the best quad one when it comes to numbers of wins. They have one of the best numbers in the nation. And then, like, I'm going to stay where I was 2 days ago. I think I'm in the same spot I was 2 days ago. And that if K-State can beat Iowa State tonight, I'm actually feeling pretty good about K-State sneaking into Dayton or something. It'll still be left up to the committee. You're probably thinking, actually, probably two more wins, and you might be safely in. But it also depends on, gosh, we're talking probably 15 other teams. You know, if K-State were to win one more but then lose or lose tonight. Now it comes down to, all right, how does the committee feel as a bubble team that is on the outside looking in, and what are all these 15 other teams doing? I mean, Memphis is an example right now, and I haven't checked actually on the score lately, but I know Memphis is another one of those bubble teams, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And, you know, if they win or lose, that could help or hurt K-State, and I need to go back and find that score. Because I believe they're actually playing right now, and they're playing against Wichita State, and Wichita State has not been very good this year. And right now, with under 5 minutes to go, Wichita State leads by four. So a loss for Memphis, sorry, Naquan Tomlin, but that could help K-State. That's just one of many examples. And you, indeed, you mentioned earlier, you got Villanova, Providence, and K-State, who are all in the last four or the first eight left out of the tournament. They're all trying to fight for that position. Even though K-State beat Villanova, now you're in a spot where we kind of need those Wildcats to now lose.
Right.
And they'll play later on tonight.
It's at the very end of the season, the K-State, when it comes to, you know, in the playoffs, when like they need to win out and then they need the Dolphins to lose, Raiders to lose, that's where the Cats are at, unfortunately. But I think they win tonight, and I think they have a better case than anybody across the board as far as a bubble team goes, that they should be included at the very least last four in.
Well, let's take a break. When we come back, let's get to some more specifics about that, where K-State currently sits on the bubble according to Joe Lenardi. you know, I've asked Troy, because we're going to play a little bit of a game here, because I want to do the blind resume test. The blind resume test. Troy's going to put us to the test. Can K-State withstand some other blind resumes? Would we pick K-State out of a group of, what, two others? And we'll see what Troy put together when we come back. Plus, after the next segment, we're giving away some K-State baseball tickets to Game 1 against Missouri State on Friday night at 6 o'clock. So stick around. We're going to give away those tickets here very soon. More of the game when we come back on K-Man. We carry you until 5 o'clock. That's when pregame coverage begins from the K-State Sports Network with Wyatt Thompson and Stan Weber on the call. K-State quarterfinal game in Kansas City. The men take on Iowa State. 10 minutes, 6 o'clock from the T-Mobile Center in Kansas City. Update from KC in the quarterfinals. Houston, 30 seconds away from beating TCU. They're up 15, 60-45. Not the biggest scoring game in this one.
That's a trademark Houston effort right there, 60 points.
Kind of a snoozer, if you ask me.
60 points and a win. So.
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what matters, baby.
Do have officially a show update for tomorrow. On tomorrow's show, we'll have Charlie Cream on from ESPN. He does the women's college basketball bracketology for ESPN. He'll join us for a few moments tomorrow to talk K-State women's basketball, who are right there on the edge. Are they going to be a 4 seed? Are they going to be a 5 seed? Will they be hosting the first two rounds, or will they be going somewhere else for the first two rounds? We'll get Charlie Cream's opinion on K-State's status heading into Selection Sunday, which the women's Selection Sunday will be at 7 o'clock on ESPN. The K-State women have invited the media out for a watch party at the Shamrock Zone, so I'll be attending that on Saturday night.
Sunday night. Yeah. Speaking of which, Sunday, we will have Selection Sunday coverage from the Westwood One side of things on the men starting at 5 o'clock.
3 hours of coverage, too.
3 hours of coverage. They bring in coaches.
The full breakdown.
Yeah, they bring in coaches. They bring in their analysts. It's really well done. So that's 5 to 8. Yeah, 5 to 8 on Sunday night.
And by the way, speaking of Selection Sunday, speaking of brackets, you know, us here at K-Man and Manhattan Broadcast, and we got something a little special coming up here, which as soon as the brackets come out, you're going to want to head to our websites, newsradiokman.com, and all of our other stations here at Manhattan Broadcasting. We're going to have ourselves own little bracket challenge, so stay tuned. There's more info to come on that, but you want to really be tuned in once Selection Sunday wraps up, because we're going to have some prizes, some cash and prizes to give away, and all you have to do is do what everybody else does. Fill out a bracket,
yeah,
and you're good to go.
Right,
nice.
Right away, we mentioned Booth Creek Wagyu. Got to get it right, Wagyu.
I like that.
They're right there as one of our bracket challenge sponsors.
You know, if I hope there's some Wagyu on the line.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Bring it.
All right. By the way, speaking of the K-State women, I mentioned there are 4 or 5. Like, I believe Charlie Cream right now still has K-State as a 5. We'll see if that does change when we get that interview going tomorrow. Plus, I saw CBS Sports does have K-State women as a 4. So it's real back and forth. Mm-hmm. It's kind of hard to tell right now, but it's either a 4 or 5. So hopefully the Cats get that 4 seed, and they'll at least a 4 seed and be hosting the first couple of rounds of the NCAA tournament for the first time in, I believe, 7 years. I think it was 7 years ago when K-State got the word that they would be hosting. That was a special circumstance because K-State was actually a 7 in that NCAA tournament, but Stanford, Tara Vanderveer, the winningest coach in college basketball history, they actually scheduled a gymnastics event that same weekend, so they couldn't host.
Ooh.
So Stanford ended up coming here. K-State did lose to Stanford in the second round.
Man, you know, that's like, they must be good at gymnastics.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of Olympic athletes go through through Stanford.
Yeah, I was gonna say, remember, the Pac-12's existence was because of Olympic athletics.
Right. So, yeah, that wouldn't happen anywhere else but in the Pac-12.
Well, right outside of Stanford's football and baseball stadium, I've been out there to Palo Alto a couple of times for soccer and baseball once upon a time. I was actually right as COVID was taking off here in the United States.
Oh.
I was in Palo Alto. But right outside those stadiums, they have an outdoor swimming, outdoor diving, and a water polo practice complex. And while everybody was practicing, I just went and watched people play water polo and do cool dives, a bunch of flips off the diving board and stuff. It was quite entertaining. And those may have been really famous Olympians. Yeah. I just didn't know, you know?
That's funny,
dude. All right, Troy, I'm going to let you take over because I wanted to play a little bit of a blind resume test. And let's see who we pick out of this because K-State's in that position. You know, they're going to be one of those teams that's brought up here in the next coming days, win or lose, against Iowa State tonight as a team that could be considered a tournament team depending on how the committee feels about their resume. So let's do this this blind test of resumes, and let's see who we pick out.
Okay. As we start this, here we go. A net of 62.
It's team one.
Team one. Net of 62. Their KenPom number is 59. Going into today, 20-12 on the year, including a 14-4 home mark and 2-1 on neutral floors. They are 5-8 in quad one wins, 3-4 with their quad two, and 11-0 with quad four.
So they don't have a bad loss.
Comparison. 68 in the net, team B. KenPom has them at 66. 19-13 record. 15-3 at home, 2-8 away from home. 5-7 quad one, 4-5 quad two, and 5-0 quad four.
Excuse me.
Okay.
And we'll go ahead and give you C. A net of 52. KenPom places them at 68. They have gone 22-9, including 15-2 in their own building, 5-6 away from home, 2-7 quad one, 7-2 quad two, and 6-0 quad four.
Do you have strength of schedule on there?
I do.
I honestly, the net.
And
I don't know if I really care about the net.
Well, the net is what's going to get more play, though, in the committee.
I understand that, but I'd rather hear about strength of schedule.
Okay. Team A, strength of schedule, 45.
Okay.
Team B, strength of schedule, 19. Team C, strength of schedule, 78.
Jeez.
Let me give you their out-of-conference strength of schedule as well. Team A's out-of-conference strength of schedule is 239.
Okay.
Team B's out of conference is 221.
Hmm.
And Team C's out of conference strength of schedule is 173.
Ooh, okay, that makes it a little more interesting. So, I Team C isn't doing it for me. I look at the quad, they only have two quad one wins, and their strength of schedule for the non-con is better than the other two teams. But I'm still not a fan of their just quad records. They have 9 total. That is less than everybody else. I'm pretty sure I think I know where K-State's at. You know, Team 1 has the better home record and better road record. That's tough. But I think I'm going Team B. Tougher strength of schedule. I mean, 19. I mean, 5 quad one wins and you've lost 7 times. I mean, you're close to 500 in quad one. And 5 would put you, when it comes to just quad one wins, I mean, that's a pretty solid number if you're on the bubble.
You have, like, however, both A and B have 5 quad one wins.
But I'm also looking at strength of schedule.
Sure.
Yeah, how many quad four wins did Team A have again? That was weird, but
11.
Yeah, I was like, that's, I mean, you don't talk about strength of schedule. That's a lot of quad four games.
That
right
should
there.
That should tell you where they're located at.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm kind of thinking. I'm with you, Mitch. I'm leaning B.
Who do you like, Deej? Do you like A?
Overwhelmingly like Team B. I can't wait to see who Team C is. I think I have an idea right off the bat.
Okay.
I mean, I do like Team A. I really do. They're just...
Too many quad four games for me. They have a similar to Team B, but Team B has the strength of schedule, and they have so many less quad four wins. I know who Team B is. I know who it is.
All right, go ahead, Troy. Who are these teams?
Wait. Team A is Providence.
Good call.
Team B is K-State.
Of course. I heard...
Look at you doing your homework here.
Okay, and Team C is Memphis.
No.
Dang it!
Team C, hold on.
Come on!
Is Team C Oklahoma? No, it couldn't be Oklahoma.
Nope. Oklahoma's net is 44, okay. 20-12 overall, and they have 4 quad one wins.
Wow. And Oklahoma's kind of like safely in the field right now as probably like a 10.
They're strong.
That's because their net is so high in comparison.
I don't know who Team C is.
Virginia.
Oh, wow.
Virginia. One of the things that I mentioned, where they are located at, in Providence's case, 11-0 quad four wins. DePaul.
Ugh.
Georgetown.
Oof.
I mean, the Big East, talk about top heavy.
It's so top heavy.
and that's where the quad four wins stacked up for Providence.
So back in the day when the Big East was the beast of the East, were they all quad ones just like the Big 12 is now?
It sure seemed like it,
Gee, many Christmas.
I want to point out another one we were kind of talking about, just another metric you could go by, and that's just wins over a top 25 net team. Because I want to give a shout out to Cole Manbeck, 3 Mile Podcast, Power Cat Game Day. Put out this grid earlier today that just kind of ranked everybody about how many wins they have over a top 25 net team. If you want to take net super seriously, well, how about this for K-State? This needs to be a strong part of their resume. And I had a feeling with K-State being involved in that, you know, that pick'em there, the blind resume test, we would gravitate towards K-State. K-State has 5 wins this year. You know, Texas would have been number 6 if Texas didn't drop 3 spots.
Right.
So you barely have Texas just barely outside of the net top 25, but K-State still has 5 wins over teams that are top 25 in the net. You know how many other teams in the nation can say they have 5? You want to take a guess?
2.
Oh, that's higher than that.
Jerome Tang talked about this, didn't he? Like
He may have.
I think he said there's only 27 teams.
Way lower than that.
Way lower? There was something he was talking about. There are only 27 teams who can...
All right, I'll give you the answer. 7.
Wow!
7 other programs this year have 5, at least 5, wins over a net top 25 team. Baylor and BYU. So you have 2 other Big 12 programs there.
Wow!
That have wins at 5 right now. That stand right at 5 over a top 25 net team. There are 3 teams with 6. Tennessee, who might be, a 2-seed? 3-seed? UConn, who's the number 2 team in the nation, and KU. KU did not have Kevin McCullough and Hunter Dickinson last night.
Yeah,
I will slightly give them a break, but what's funny about that, as I tweeted this out last night, they joined West Virginia as the only 2 teams this year that lost to all 4 of the Big 12 newcomers.
Let me note something here, because you brought up Oklahoma being in, at least in terms of the metrics. This is the part that I don't understand. 5-0 quad 2, 3-0 quad 3, 8-0 quad 4. That's great. No bad losses. 4-12 quad 1. 16 quad one games on their schedule, and they only won 4.
But the big number there is 4.
Yeah, and their strength of schedule is 15.
It also helps they don't have any bad losses. They play in the Big 12. But it's not like they're crazy ahead of K-State. Like, at best,
they
may grab an 11 seed, and if they're lucky, they won't be heading to Dayton. Like, K-State may sneak that spot. But Oklahoma would be either a ten at best.
True. It just is overwhelming to me, the number, though, at 4-12, because nobody else in this that I laid out had more than even 12 games against quad one teams.
By the way, there's two other teams in college basketball that have at least 5 wins or a top 25 net team: Houston and Purdue. So Houston, Tennessee, UConn, KU, K-State, Baylor, BYU all have at least 5 wins over a top 25 net team. Mm.
The one that really still floors me, though, Wisconsin, sitting here at a net 22 and a strength of schedule of 7.
I was going to ask you who that team,
Team A is. Yeah, that's whiskey.
By the way, those other 7 teams that have, again, at least 5 wins over a top 25 net team are at least, according to the projected bracketology from Joe Lenardi, are a 5 or better.
Wow.
In the NCAA tournament. But again, K-State has had some rough losses there. They've kind of gravitated towards either being a 2 or a 3, a quad 2 or a 3 loss. Miami fell to a quad 3 loss, so technically K-State has a bad loss on the resume, but it's just barely, and Miami's been shockingly a bad team this year. And also just, you know, Oklahoma State at the time looked like a pretty bad loss. They still remain a quad 2 loss, so it could be a lot worse. But the number of losses just total has rolled up a little bit. So that's, I mean, K-State just losing some games has hurt. You know, it's not so much the metrics, it's just the number of games you've lost. And tonight they try to win their 20th game of the year. So, and as a team you want to get into the NCAA tournament, you don't want to wait this late typically to get your 20th win.
No, you don't.
But worse teams have gotten in.
But that's right. And worse teams have gone on to get really hot. You know, I think about that UConn team with Kemba Walker. They weren't very good, and they just went nuclear. I mean, he did. All you need is a chip and a chair at this time. And I think you look at that, you look at these ratings, and it's like K-State makes a good argument. They do. Even though, even as a fan, a huge, giant fan, I go, well, I don't pass the eye test to me. But when you break it down this way, it sure does look like they have a better case than a lot of teams.
Well, I'd rather watch them than Virginia.
Yeah.
And again, I mean, K-State's been handed an opportunity on a silver platter, and that's just stock up quad one wins. It's right there in front of them. You have the best opportunity than anybody else. Any other bubble team in the nation does not have this opportunity in front of them. Just go win games. You don't have to worry about whether the teams are doing it if you just go win some games. Mm-hmm. You'll play your way in just by winning.
I know.
It doesn't have to come down to what 15 other teams are doing, win or lose, to gravitate into the bubble, just go win games. You
know. Cats just got helped by Wichita State.
So there you go. I mean, Memphis losing does help out.
It definitely does. It just, we said the same thing when it was like, okay, let's go 9-9 with this team. Just go win these games. It's tough for them to put them together. I really hope that at this point in the season, they go on their run. They get hot, and go on a run. I hope we spank Iowa State tonight and start going on a run.
Well, speaking of Iowa State and speaking of the game tonight, we're going to give away some baseball tickets here in a second. Hey. But when we come back, we will get to Mitch Palm versus Iowa State. Before we take this break, we need to give away some K-State baseball tickets. 4 tickets to tomorrow's series opening game against a good Missouri State team. Let's get a caller right now. Let's go caller 3, 785-537. 1350. If you want to go to the Back Hats game tomorrow against Missouri State, now is the time to call. Again, the phone number is 785-537-1350, and more of the game is coming up next here on News Radio KMAN. You know, Owen, it's funny you play Goldberg's music coming back in, because today is the 20th anniversary of WrestleMania 20.
Hey.
And in that mania, you had Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg.
Ooh, yeah.
Which the word got out to the fans that they were both leaving after that match, leaving the company, because Brock Lesnar was going to try to get into the NFL. Goldberg was just, I guess, done or whatever. So the fans knew about that and just heckled.
Hijacked the match.
Hijacked the match, heckled them all, the whole time.
Oh.
And by the way, the guest ref in that match was Stone Cold.
Dang, and he was like, what's going on?
Yeah, we got robbed of that match.
Well, everybody just got stunners afterwards. So everybody got what they wanted, right? They didn't care about the results. They just wanted stunners.
That's awesome. He knows how to read a room, you know? He's like, I'll take it from here, boys.
Big shout out to Kevin. Big Kev out of Manhattan, winner of the four tickets to tomorrow's
Kevaroonie
opener.
Kevin?
Kevaroonski with the tickets.
Oh, my.
Is that a Pauly Shore? Did you just do Pauly Shore?
No, that's a John Lovitz.
No, it's Rob Schneider.
Rob Schneider, you're right. You're right, yeah.
Rob Schneider's only character from SNL.
Making copy.
Yeah, oh, that's right. Yeah. Forgot about that one. All right, we got a game and coming up tonight. Tip off in like 69 minutes, so let's get a prediction in.
Here's Mitch Ball with tonight's prediction.
Tonight, indeed. Quarterfinal, Big 12 tourney. 10 seed Cats, 2 seed Clones. Second meeting in 5 days. Third meeting this year. Cats lost in Ames, but a hell of an effort in the second half. There was too many spies, technical fouls in that game in Ames for the Cats to win, so they lose 78-67. This time, Cats beat the spies. I couldn't find any, you know. A little tougher to spot in the octagon when you're busy. So, but the Cats still got it done. 65-58, a little bit of a low-scoring game there in Bramlage Coliseum on senior night. You know, it wasn't the seniors, though. It was the juniors that had the big games. Arthur Kaluma and Cam Carter combining for 45 points in the Cats' victory. Their third of the year against a top-10 team. By 6 points, or 7 points, rather. What K-State did so well is what typically Iowa State does so well. K-State won in points off turnovers 20-11. Second chance points 10-7. Fast break points 15-2. And also out-rebounded Iowa State. That was big. Out-rebounding the Cyclones 56-27 was pretty big. 20 points off turnovers for K-State in that game. Just the second time this season and the first time in Big 12 play, the Cats were able to bring that kind of number with points off turnover. That was obviously big. And that's what Iowa State does. They force turnovers. They'll score off those turnovers. And Saturday for K-State, it wasn't like they had their best shooting night. Honestly, it was okay. They were under 30% from three. They shot 40% from the field. Wasn't, honestly, anything to write home about. They're 14 of 21 from the free throw line, below average. But those stops,
big.
Getting the stops, and guys starting to hit some shots was a bit of a difference. All right, looking at Iowa State, I think there's some major factors here about where Iowa State is currently at. They're still pretty good on defense. They've won 4 of their last 5 because of their defense. And I'm going to give you another interesting thing about the way they're trending in the last 5 games. But defensively, they're still top 5 defense in the nation and not allowing points, forcing teams to shoot bad. Teams shoot 32% from 3 against Iowa State. They're giving up just 29.5% or 29.5 defensive rebounds per game. That's a top 75 stat in the nation. They'll block some shots, but not a ton. They're just good. They steal the basketball. 10.4 a game, second in the nation in stealing the basketball. Offensively, they're dipping. Case in point is Keyshawn Gilbert. Now, he did score 13 against the Cats, but he had to put in a lot of work and had to get to the free throw line to get those points. Over the last 5 games for Keyshawn Gilbert, their leading scorer, he has been 26% from the field. So he has relied on getting touch fouls, getting to the free throw line, and trying to knock down some shots. So in those last 4 games, or 5 games, he's been scoring 4 points under his season average. He's not scoring in double figures in the last 5 games. Also for the Cyclones, they're most likely going to be without Demarion Watson. He's out with a concussion. He is a depth piece. He's a forward. He's more like a stretch 3. But he will most likely not play, so that's a piece of the Cyclone depth that will not be in action tonight. And just the Cyclones as a team, they've seen their numbers over the last 2 or 3 weeks kind of stumble a bit. As a matter of fact, I thought this was an interesting nugget for Iowa State and about their underperforming offensive expectations. You know, everyone about their last five or six games, the expectation is just what you think they should do against an opponent they're facing that night. They have not met those expectations. They have underperformed in all of those games offensively. But the reason they've won four of the last five is because they've been so good defensively. They've had lower scoring games. But over the last 2 weeks, they have had a 99.6 adjusted points per 100 possessions. Now, that's a lot of numbers, a lot of weird numbers I'm throwing at you. But that is a good sign of their offensive struggles, because over the last 2 weeks, they've had one of the worst. That's just what I'm saying, is they've had one of the worst scoring offenses in the nation in the last couple of weeks. So they're not trending in the right direction offensively. So let's get to some keys for the game. Coming out in the second half, come out fast. Keep the turnovers even and score off the turnovers. Prediction time. I'm going the reverse jinx again. Cats lose to Iowa State. Again, it's a reverse jinx thing. 70-67 because it worked last night.
Yeah.
Cats, hope you make it into the NCAA tournament. With that, we got to go. We got to get out. We got pregame coverage coming up next. Cats, clones, tip it off at 6. For Owen, Deej, Troy, I'm Mitch. Go Cats.